I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 164. In this episode, I'll discuss drug-induced pancreatitis. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode164. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Critical Care Pharmacy Academy is a place for pharmacists and pharmacy residents to gain practical, critical care knowledge and skills. Inside the academy, you'll find monthly masterclasses, weekly critical care literature digest, and members-only forums to connect with other pharmacists and get answers to your critical care pharmacy questions. You can learn more by going to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. The incidence of drug-induced pancreatitis is less than 2% of all pancreatitis cases. There are no clinical features that differentiate drug-induced pancreatitis from other types. Typically, drug-induced pancreatitis is considered if a patient has pancreatitis without an obvious cause. When evaluating potential drug-induced pancreatitis, first check to make sure a more common cause, such as alcohol use or abuse, gallstones, hypertriglyceridemia, or a history of recent ERCP is not present. Next, consider whether the patient has been taking any medications thought to cause pancreatitis. The majority of data for medications reported to cause pancreatitis are case reports. The World Health Organization maintains a database of over 500 drugs reported to cause pancreatitis, but only 30 of those drugs are thought to have definitely caused pancreatitis according to the Naranjo Adverse Drug Reaction Algorithm. A complete list of those 30 medications is in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode164. A few of the more common medications on the list are acetaminophen, carbamazepine, enalapril, erythromycin, estrogen, furosemide, mercaptopurine, metronidazole, octreotide, olanzapine, opioids, steroids, sulfamethoxazole, tetracycline, and valproic acid. Of particular note on this list is the absence of any GLP-1 inhibitors. Many cases of acute pancreatitis have been reported in patients taking GLP-1 inhibitors, such as exenatide or liraglutide. To examine this potential link, multiple cohort studies have been performed. These studies have not shown an association between GLP-1 inhibitors and acute pancreatitis. Nevertheless, if I was evaluating a patient for drug-induced pancreatitis and they were taking a GLP-1 inhibitor, I would discontinue it and search for an alternative treatment. There are at least 6 different mechanisms by which medications are thought to cause pancreatitis. Because of these mechanisms, the onset of pancreatitis may be delayed compared to when a suspected medication has begun. The 6 mechanisms are an immunologic reaction, direct toxic effect, accumulation of toxic metabolites, ischemia, thrombosis, and thickening of pancreatic secretions. The strongest case for drug-induced pancreatitis in a particular patient comes after a positive rechallenge, but this is usually not clinically done. It would be rare not to be able to find a suitable alternative to a medication suspected of causing pancreatitis. To summarize, my approach to evaluating a patient with suspected drug-induced pancreatitis is to check for common causes of pancreatitis, check for medications known to cause pancreatitis, apply the Naranjo algorithm, and discontinue and propose alternative treatments. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.